Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Felger Maserati on a Friday. What does that mean again, Maz?
Agenda free.
Agenda free. It means you set the agenda. It's agenda free from our point of view. We won't set the agenda. You will with your phone calls. Whatever you want, anything from the week that we've gotten to or have yet to get to, that's what we say.
On the Felger and Maz show on Friday.
It's such a powerful program.
The callers line up and they come out and they preach to the host.
So this... It's so big and powerful. It's sponsored, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. I have logged into my call screen early. I am ready to go. Jimmy Stewart may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. You load up the phones. We give you our opening takes. And as soon as you're ready to go, we go to you. But we start with some opening thoughts. Maz, you want to go first?
I am happy to go first. Yes. Red Sox first to 101, baby. There we go. 101 victories for the Boston Red Sox. It wasn't exactly the way you would draw it up, per se. So I would like the time to take the time on this Friday to go over some of the basics, particularly for one Joseph Kelly. And just make sure we're all on the same page here. So that thing that the catcher squats behind, that little white thing there, that is called home plate. That's a plate. The guy standing next to that plate holding a bat in his hands is the batter. So typically the pitcher's objective, the goal, is to throw the ball over the plate and between the knees and letters of the batter. That is what we call a strike. That's a strike. Now, this to Kelly last night was a foreign concept, so I just want to make sure that we're going over, again, the ABCs here so that we're all on the same page, and that way there are no issues going forward. But the objective of the man on the mound is to take that thing in his hand with the stitches on it, the 108 stitches, the ball, the baseball, throw it over the plate between the knees and the letters of the man holding the bat. If you can do that three times, typically you get the guy out. Okay, so that's, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page there, because that thing last night, that was a train wreck. That was a complete poop show. You want to talk about one of the worst relief appearances you will ever see? You come into a 3-2 game with the bases empty, walk a guy on four pitches.
Two outs, bases empty.
You walk a guy on four pitches. Now, the fourth pitch was a strike, but frankly, you didn't deserve it because you missed so bad on the first three that you can go pound sand. If you didn't get the fourth one, that's your fault, because the umpire at that stage was probably running for his life because he thought the ball was coming at his head. Okay? Then you gave up a hit to the second guy, and you hit the next two, the last one after going up 0-2 in the count. Okay? So you have nobody to bitch at. You threw 15 pitches. Five of them were strikes. Two out of every three, you couldn't get over that little white thing in front of the catcher. Okay, so I just want to point that out. And Alex Speer of the Globe today wrote, the Red Sox have blown 10 saves since the All-Star break. Most in the American League. Most. 10 blown saves. The team has converted just 50% of save opportunities in that time. Also the worst in the American League. Of the five AL teams that are likely to be playing in October, the Red Sox are getting, and listen closely here, the fewest strikeouts, giving up the most walks, and giving up both hits and home runs. So the 101 Red Sox, who in the eyes of many have no problems, have sucked in the late innings since the All-Star break especially. And so, again, to me personally, I point my fingers at the guy who built the bullpen. I find it astonishing that he didn't go and get help in approaching July 31st when the non-waiver trade deadline happened. Beyond that, has it really reached the point where we can't even throw the ball over the plate? I mean, that thing last night is one of the 10 worst relief appearances I've ever seen.
It's another fake win. Another fake win. Red Sox on the table. What's your opening take there, Murray?
So now there's two. We have to alter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Two. Right. They're at 99.
Two fake wins. Another great example of a major league umpire acting like an unprofessional ass last night, who felt the need to try to show up a player and insert himself into the game. I'm going to retweet this for those that haven't seen it. Todd Frazier. He was coming around third. Team was crowding home plate. Hey, Mets win. All he's going to do is touch home plate. All Todd Frazier has to do is touch home plate. But who's standing on home plate like a hardo? The mall cop, the Major League mall cop ump, who's all mad because he's got to show Todd Frazier who's boss, because us umpires were embarrassed last week because you tricked us with your squeezy toy ball when you caught it in the stands last night.
I didn't realize that was Frazier.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, Todd Frazier. See, the comeuppance was coming. I thought it might have been with, you know, balls and strikes or something like that, because at least, you know, you can get away with that, and that would have still been an a-hole move, but we can understand it because the umps, again, always have to insert themselves into the game. We shouldn't know Country Joe West's name, but we do because he's an a-hole who always inserts himself into the game, like this guy last night, because I'm going to stand on home plate. You're not going to cross home plate. I'm going to give you the chest bump to show you what's for. What an a-hole. I'm with Mike from Uber on this. Bring on the robots. I want the robot umps maybe more than anything in sports, more than a Patriots Super Bowl win, more than David Price failing again in the playoffs. Can I donate to a GoFundMe to bring on the robot umps? These a-holes, these children, these babies. Oh, stop it. You got showed up last week. You got tricked by a squeeze ball. You got to stand on home plate like you're a doorman at some bad bar. You're not getting in. You're not crossing my plate.
I'm sorry to interrupt your opening take. You don't think there's any chance he's helping him out to show him where the plate is, because you have to touch home plate in a scrum, and, you know,
stand to the side. All the players had a U shape around the plate. There was enough room. Mike, he's standing on the plate. Standing on the plate. Look at this. He wants the chest bump with the player because he wants to show the player up because they looked like fools last week because they got tricked by a squeeze ball.
I didn't realize it was Frazier. I thought the first I heard of this is when you mentioned it, you know, 20 minutes before the show. So I didn't even know this happened last night. And when I first saw it, I'm like, he's helping the runner out. So he knows where home plate is. So he touches it and can finish the game. I didn't realize it was Frazier.
The ump wanted a fight. It's what he wanted.
So I think, now look, standing the way he's standing, I mean, he's like right on it.
You got to watch it in real time because there's now video of it. I'll tweet it because why would you have been paying attention to the Mets last night? If you see it in real time, the ump wanted to, he wanted to go. He acted like a doorman at the Kells. You're not getting in. No, too many bros in here already. You're not, unless you're with girls, we're not letting you in. You're not crossing. What's up? These umps, oh, I hate them so much.
So now, again, I don't know much about the specific umpire, but typically when that happens, the umpire stands right near the plate to make sure the guy touches it.
Near, not on. Near, not on. Not on like a giant a-hole. Bring on the robot umps.
The fact that it's Frazier's great. My opening take is quick. It's about the Erik Karlsson trade to Ottawa. I mean, sorry, from Ottawa to San Jose, where they got a paltry return, and they could have gotten more if they had traded in the conference. It just got me thinking about how everyone does that, right? I mean, the Patriots may have even done it here a little bit with Garoppolo. I don't know if that was the prime motivation, but people want to assign that to it. Or Chandler Jones going to Arizona. Harry Sinden used to do it routinely. You send Middleton to the Vancouver, you know, like, it's just a thing. You want to trade the player out of conference. And teams seem to want to prioritize sending players out of conference, where if they send them in conference, they would get more. And it gets me thinking, why? 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 Honestly.
Well, because they're afraid it'll come back to haunt them.
How so?
That the player will be good and beat them in a key spot and they'll be embarrassed.
So it's really that last part now, isn't it? Because for the most part, when you're trading a guy like Erik Karlsson, you're rebuilding.
Sure, yeah, that's right.
I mean, Ottawa's gone into a complete rebuild. So they're stripping it, okay? So what's it to them if he goes to the Rangers and the Rangers go to the Cup Finals when Ottawa's in last place. You know what I mean? It makes no practical sense. And I would say that the vast majority of times, that's the case. And even if it makes the opponent better, but you get a better haul, you're still going to not do it, even though if you could have gotten two first-round picks instead of one, but you send them west because you don't want to face them, isn't that stupid? Don't you take the two first-round picks and worry about yourself and not the opponent?
Yeah, to me, you know, now look, deals between hardcore rivals are always tough. So like Bruins, Canadians, like, you know. But in this particular case, if you have a good asset and you take, you know, 60 cents on the dollar.
Just so you can send them west and not have to worry about the public fallout?
You should take the best offer. Always. When you're dealing a player like that, always, always, always the best offer. The whole four ponies for a horse thing never works.
How many teams do this routinely? Like, I think the Rangers were smart at the trade deadline. They sent McDonough to Tampa. That's a conference rival. And if the Rangers get good, they may run into McDonough. So what? The Rangers are in a complete they got to worry about themselves. You get the best you can. You rebuild your team. And then you burn that other bridge when you get to it. 99 times out of 100, when you're trading a star like that, you're taking steps back. You're either going to the bottom or the middle. Like, you're not worried anymore about facing that player in the conference finals. You know, a flip side of that is like the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is a totally different thing. But even still, if that was their best offer, do it. You still won anyway. You still got past the Celtics and got to the finals anyway. So all these teams that just take a lesser offer just so they don't have to have the PR of the guy being in their same conference or facing them is so short-sighted and so ridiculous the more I think of it.
Oh, God, it's dumb. Again, I'll tell you what, use the extreme case. Let's say that Jimmy Johnson had the same approach when he traded Herschel Walker. He never would have gotten that haul from Minnesota.
Exactly.
Minnesota's in the same conference. He would have sent him to the AFC. Right. He wouldn't have got that haul.
Exactly.
I mean, like, that would have been the mistake of all mistakes because that deal ended up winning Dallas Super Bowls plural.
Okay, so my simple opening take on that. Here's Gary in Maine. As always, the first couple calls here in the first segment on Joe Kelly last night. Go ahead, Gary.
On today.
We're good, Gary. What do you got?
I was never so disgusted to see Kelly come in last night because it seems like every time he's in a position like that, he screws it up so bad. I mean, I don't even know why he's in their bullpen. They don't need the guy. Put him for mop-up duty or out collecting money for sick kids out on Yawkey Way.
Yeah, we'll use him for Christmas in the City donations.
I mean, that was embarrassing. It was.
Is he pitching himself off the roster?
I don't know if I'm going that far, but close. I mean, close. He's pitching himself out of any situation of consequence. Like, I have zero faith in him. How do you look at him and have any faith?
This was your guy for the first half of the year, was your eighth inning guy, and he wasn't half bad. And he's not going to make he may not make the playoff roster.
Yeah, and so I think I saw somewhere where Dombrowski thinks they have found a mechanical flaw.
Was that before last night or after last night?
I don't know. So either way, here's what I'm going to tell you. Take your mechanical flaw and plant it, okay? Because it's got nothing to do with mechanics with Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly's mechanics have been screwed up since he was born. I have news for you. Nobody's been able to fix them. So don't give me this mechanic bullcrap. It's who he is. And just on another note, I know Pointer gave up a home run last night too. Okay? Nobody should mention Bobby Pointer and Joe Kelly in the same breath today. Bobby Pointer was asked to face a right-handed batter, and he threw the ball over the plate. Which, home runs happen. Like, in some way, I can live with that. In a lot of ways, that's on the manager more than it is on Bobby Pointer. You don't let Pointer face a right-handed batter, but Cora's trying to find out.
And he said, and I believe him, I wanted to see what he looked like against a righty.
No question, right? No question. He's auditioning.
And you found out.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You found out. I mean, he can't do it. So now, I'm not surprised by that, but Cora wanted to give it a shot. But that's not Pointer's fault. Okay, that ultimately is what I'm getting at. He is who he is. Kelly, that's his fault.
Off and running on an agenda-free Friday to your phones right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mass on. Bones. Heath Henry.
Doc. Joe Kelly.
And those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel! And today's Cutler's Bomb is the Jackpot of Sox!
We are on to the eighth inning. Sox hit 3-1. And Pointer into the ball game. High fly ball deep left field by Gurriel. He jumps on this one into the light standard and out of here.
Kind of cheated on. He looking fastball, got it and left.
As Pointer comes out and Kelly coming in. And that's going to be ball four.
Wow.
And a slider. Line drive, and that's going to fall in right field. Davis to second, stopping there. The eighth inning. Two out, two on. Here's the 2-1 to Grichik. And it hits him. It did indeed on a change, and that's going to load up the bases.
Not a very pretty outing here for Joe Kelly. Kind of did it all. A walk, a base hit, and a hit batter with a changeup. His control has been very iffy, to say the least.
That hit him, and that's going to force in a run. And here comes the manager, Alex Cora. He's got Workman all loosened up. He's going to go to him.
And then you saw how they won, right?
Of course.
Dude drops a pop-up. Second fake win in 2 weeks.
I'll co-sign on that. I'm into another fake win.
Yeah, what was our first fake win? I forget.
Against the Marlins.
Yeah. When the guy chucked the ball away and they won the game on the error.
Oh, yeah. He threw it away on the double play ball.
Right. That's the truest fake win they had this year.
And the bullpen also gave up like a 4 or 5 run lead.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. To a bad team.
In the eighth or ninth. Whatever.
Okay, that was our first fake win. Last night was a fake win. I'm sorry. Against that, you know, mailing it in, crap bag team. Your bullpen gives it up. Joe Kelly, two outs, bases empty. Walk, hit batsman, brings in the tying run. And then you win because they drop a pop-up. Fake win. Fake. You're at 99. Fake win. Second fake win in as many weeks or however, whenever that first one was. I can't remember.
So I told you I was reading off some of those stats from that Alex Beer story about how bad the bullpen has been. He had this one too. In their blown saves, they're 11-6.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Like, it just goes to show you what kind of year they're having.
Well,
that they win anyway.
That they're also ballsy and resilient.
Of course,
and
of course.
Clutch. Like, I mean, that's a good stat and a bad stat. I mean, that thing that they have, I mean, they'll blow saves in the playoffs and should win playoff games if that holds, right?
I just think it's going to be harder in the playoffs because the quality of the competition's better.
I smell you.
So that's all. And look, it does. It speaks to the result. I don't want to take that part of it away from them. But that is an outlier. That is not something you can rely on, is my only point. They blow the game and they win anyway. That thing last night, and again, look, there's one way to blow a game and another way. You know, there's lots of ways to blow games. That thing last night, that was insulting. It was. The inability to throw a strike on 10 of 15 pitches, that is a joke. Like, that is get out of the big leagues, you don't belong here kind of joke.
Okay, Agenda Free Friday. Back to the phones. Dave in Plymouth on the Bruins. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. So I was going to talk about the trip to China, which I'm not thrilled about. But, Mike, I wanted to go back to what you said about the Erik Karlsson trade. And I'm just going to reference Sagan. And the reason I'm going to reference that deal is because the Bruins at that time, I believe they still consider themselves a Stanley Cup contender. I mean, they had just lost to the Blackhawks, right?
Yep. Yeah.
In six?
Yep.
So we know the circumstances behind moving Sagan, but I really believe that I don't think they considered moving him within the conference because they felt like we still have a shot here of going, and this kid could get in the way of that.
Okay, but I hear you, Dave, but if you really believe in your team, you get a much better return. I mean, you just went to the Cup Finals, and Sagan was a non-factor in that. They had to demote him, right? Didn't they have to play Yager on that line because Sagan couldn't get out of his own way? So if you really believe in your team and you're getting a much better return in conference, take the return in conference.
No, I agree with you. I just think that the Bruins' thought process there was more about we're a Cup contender, and we don't want this kid if we deal him to a team, because you're going to deal him to a team that has what players that can play now. You're not going to deal him for draft picks.
I guess. I don't know. I still think, look, I still think if you're getting a much better return in your division, if it's the Yankees or the Canadians or the Lakers, whatever team you hate, I don't care. If you're getting a much better return from that team, take it. Take it. If they're there in the division, in the conference, it's about you and you building your team. Is what it is.
Yeah, I hate that. I mean, I hate the practice of you trade off a dollar for four quarters. I hate that. I can't stand it. I despise it, in fact. Now, look, I just, unlike you, I think it's a little different when you're talking about an intense rival. So, like, if the Red Sox can't sign Mookie Betts, should they trade him to the Yankees?
If the Yankees decide to get stupid and give you the best offer?
Okay,
and
so,
give you a crazy offer? Yup, you
okay,
should.
Okay, so I hear you on that one. And if the Yankees want to give up their three best prospects or something,
right,
then take it.
Right.
Yeah, then take it.
And I think no one will do that. And I just think the Carlson trade, again, they probably could have done better if he kept him east, but they don't want to face him, or they don't want to face the PR backlash of him being in the division and doing well when they're in a complete rebuild. That's just asinine. Jacob in New Jersey. Go ahead, Jacob.
How you doing, guys?
What do you got?
So the reason why Bill's closer tree sucks is because he sucks. Bill Belichick is 55-63 without Tom Brady. Not 11-5 like Belga trying to make us believe when he's talking about that Hoyer argument. He's 55-63. He sucks.
So, Jacob, so his coaching tree sucks because Bill sucks. That is not – we'll take all sorts of takes, but that's, like, not reasonable. There is a reason, though, why there's got to be some sort of reason. It's not just, you know, he's 0-6 now with guys who've spun off in the league to coach. That's becoming not a coincidence. So, again, what is it? You know, I mean, you just think it's purely the personality thing.
Well, look, I think that's part of it. Again, if you learn under a guy who does it away and he's successful with it, that doesn't mean it'll work for you, right? It's just it works for him.
I just don't know why they can't pick up some of the schemes and some of the X's and O's and impart that and just be normal as a personality. Like, don't take on the a-hole thing or, you know, just tone it down a little bit and use the schemes. I don't know. I just thought someone would back into it.
Yeah, I just think that in a leadership spot, your credibility is huge. And so the only way to get people, like, even if they are trying to implement the schemes, if the players don't believe in you, they're not going to do it right. Like, they're going to look at it and say, or they're going to do it half-heartedly and they don't believe in you. Like, I just think in leadership, the credibility in leadership is a huge, huge thing. Bill has it because he has the credentials. But, you know, for Matt Patricia to walk into Detroit and say, here's how you're going to do it. Like, if I'm one of those players who has had any level of success, and I'm not going to tell you any of them have, okay, but I would look at him and say, based on what success that you've had, that you studied under Bill, like, you know, it's a hard way to do it. It's a hard way. You got to get guys to, you know, you got to be persuasive a little bit.
Agenda Free Friday. Everything is on the table, as you can tell. We'll get right back to you after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table. Another fake win by the Red Sox last night. Ben in the car, you want to weigh in? Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, you know, don't hang up after this first line, but I feel like it's unfair to call those guys, the bullpen, the wheel of gutless bums, so I want to give a new name, because it takes real balls to suck so bad every night and then to go back out there the next time, so I think they should be the wheel of ballsy bums.
Shameless. Shameless bums.
I like that.
Or persistent bums. It's a harsh moniker, but it speaks to, Kelly has the stuff, right? Like,
They all do.
He throws a million miles an hour. He's got good movement. He's got the stuff, the talent to be good. So does Barnes. Absolutely, right? Except whenever they get into a spot where it's the leverage turns up or the pressure turns up, the ball's all over the place. They can't locate, and so it's about their sort of composure or that thing.
Yes. Totally right. Yes. And I was whispering to Jimmy this just now. Did you happen to hear about Kelly's interview? Pete Abraham referenced this in the game story.
I saw your email. Go ahead and tell the people.
Okay. So Joe Kelly was on with Jim Rome yesterday. Apparently, Kelly liked to hit when he was in the National League. Okay? So here's the exchange.
Do you miss picking up the bat?
All the time. You know, I'm still hoping that, you know, I get my World Series at bat this year and you know, maybe a little mess up where, you know, it's an extra inning game and I got to go through innings.
So let me get this straight. Hold on. You want a hit in the World Series? Joe, you might not be on the roster, pal. Like, how about trying to get an out in the World Series? If the best part of that whole thing, that cut, you know, maybe something gets messed up and I have to go a couple of innings. To go innings, you have to get outs. That's how they're measured. Exactly right. There you go. Jimmy, you had a boy.
Thanks,
like,
Doug.
That's how it works. See, an inning is three outs. So, like, last night, you faced four batters, but zero innings because you had zero outs. Like, and you want a hit? If I'm Alex Cora, I hear that comment. I go to Joe Kelly and say, Joe, tell you what. Why don't we forget about the bat and actually try to throw a freaking strike first? How about that?
Jim Rome couldn't do better than Joe Kelly. Righteous Joe. Understandable that you want to thump with the lumber.
Oh, my God. What a comment. Shut up.
Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank on Agenda Free Friday. What do you got for me, Frank?
Look, real quick on McQuaid and Carlson. McQuaid's going to be missed here. I don't think anybody can deny that. He
good
wasn't
Bruin.
The greatest, but he was, yeah. I mean, he was just... He did his job, and he'll be missed. I hope he does well in New York. The thing with Carlson, I don't know what San Jose is doing. I don't think that they're built to win it this year. They gave up a lot to get him.
No, they didn't.
And he,
Frank,
well,
Frank, they did not give up a lot. They did not give up a lot at all. Those draft picks are even conditional, and there's all sorts of funky conditions on it when you really read what they are. They gave up a third-line center. They gave up the first-round pick from last year, but for a guy like Carlson, oh, my God, Frank. Come on,
well, yeah, but he's only under contract for 1 year, Mike.
That's
and
right.
I'm assuming that he wants to hit the market, which is pretty much why Ottawa wasn't going to keep him. But anyway, to get to the China thing, this goes right up my keister. What are they doing there? The Bruins had to fly 7,000 miles to get there. Calgary had to fly 5,000 miles. What are they doing there? I mean, when was the last time that we actually had a top prospect come out of China? What is the NHL doing? What are they doing?
Frank, I'm with you. I'm sorry. It's one thing. Like, I think sometimes those early season overseas trips can really help you. You sort of bond as a team. What are you laughing at?
No, he's so right about the prospect.
The Chinese prospects?
Is there even, like, an Asian player in the NHL? Does it exist?
What about the kid with the Islanders?
I mean, I might be wrong. I'm just asking. It doesn't feel like
not Okpozo, no.
No, I thought there was another kid with the Islanders who was a high draft pick. I can't think of his name.
So, I mean, maybe there are. I mean, that's not it. They're setting the stage for the Olympics in a couple of years. So that's what it is. The NHL players better go then. But it's, I mean, so anyway, like for value for a team, like overseas trips early in the season can sometimes help a team. When the Celtics won in 2008, they went to Italy, I think, right?
They did, yeah. They went to Europe.
When the Bruins won in 2011, I believe they started in the Czech Republic. I believe their first two games were against the Arizona Coyotes in wherever, Timbuktu. I think they were overseas, I think. And you can sort of have like a little team bonding. Like, I get that. They split the team. The team's not there. Like, anyone who was anyone was able to get out of the thing and
right,
stay
like Krejci didn't go, for example.
Yeah, because of visa issues. I'll tell you what his visa issue was. He showed up and said, wait a minute. Char's not going, and Bergeron's not going, and Marshy's not going.
That flight's how long?
Yeah, I'm not going. Thanks. Visa issue. Thank you. Yeah, he showed up and he showed up and realized who wasn't going. He's like, wait a minute. So, like, you're not even building anything there. It's like Cassidy and some of the staff with some of the players and Sacco and some of the players here, and they are halfway around the globe, and their bags couldn't get through because of visa issues or whatever, customs. Their bags got stopped.
I mean, and that one, too, that's like, you know, as he said, that's not a short trip, man. How long is that flight? Like 16 hours?
I don't know what it is.
Or 14, like whatever it is.
Good Lord.
Europe, to me, is one thing. Okay, fine, let's jump across the pond, 6-8 hour flight. Let's go. We'll have a good time. China? You got to fly halfway around the world for that one.
And for what? To set the stage for the Olympics, which they're not even committed to going to yet? Or what? Are you going to grow the game in China? They have ice? Does it get cold there? Like, I sound ignorant. I know. I'm sorry. But, like,
Is it even a hockey-playing sort of thing?
I have no idea.
Like, I'm sure parts of the country that are by Russia, like, I'm really going to sound ignorant now. I don't know my geography there. In Asia slash wherever, that, you know, I don't get it. But is that really where you're going to be growing hockey?
Yeah, I'm surprised Brady didn't lobby to go on the trip. He wants to, it's always been a dream of his, right? A childhood dream to play in China.
So, Leo in Hartford on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Leo.
Yes, your thoughts on a couple of issues. Brock Holt coming up late in games, generally with runners in scoring position and taking call third strikes, usually on a fastball right down the middle of the plate. And the other one on Joe Kelly making the playoff roster. I don't see him beating out the likes of Wright, Workman, Embry, Brazier, Evoldi, and Velasquez. Thanks.
Well, so Wright is an interesting one now, you know? Would you rather have... Answer honestly now. Would you rather have Stephen Wright in the eighth inning or Joe Kelly?
After last night, Stephen Wright.
Yesterday when I asked you this, I think it was Joe Kelly.
I said Joe Kelly. Yeah, I mean, that thing last night, that was an absolute disaster, that outing. You can't possibly overstate how bad that was. For a big league pitcher to go out there in that situation, allow four guys to reach base without recording an out, miss the strike zone on 10 of 15 pitches, and three of the four guys who reached were walking two-hit batters. I mean, that's as bad as it gets, other than just giving up four homers.
The walk was on four pitches?
Yes. The fourth pitch in his defense got was squeezed. A strike.
Yeah.
It was a strike. And even X said something to the effect. But you know what? Like, I look at that one and say, sorry, you don't get close on the first three, and he wasn't. The umpire's not going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Brock Holt call, for once, it's not saying, bleh, how do you like Brock Holt now? It's an actual Brock Holt sucks call. Thank you, caller.
So, look, I told you, Holt, to me, is a limited guy, but the pinch hitting thing this year has been real. I think he's got... It's like 4-for-11 or something like that, which is a .364 average, but they're all extra base hits. Two homers, a double, and a triple. Like, I mean, he's been good in that spot.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a... gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, before we get back to the phones on an agenda-free Friday, guess who finally found their way to our new studios? So we moved, was it now, like 2 months ago?
Yeah something like that.
We moved from our little basement... environs there in Brighton to our beautiful new studio at the BZ Media Group in Dorchester, our Town Fair Tire Studios. So we've been, you know, that was about 2 months ago. And I think that when we moved, a couple of our little buddies, a couple of our little friends lost their way and they found us. Guess who finally has shown up to our new Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester?
Your dog, Sally?
Go.
The Fuppets.
Oh.
Go ahead, hit it.
Bill O'Brien. This guy is so overrated.
B.O.B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
No, I'm adding an O.
But you didn't.
I know, I was taking some editorial license.
Right.
B.O.B. Boob.
It goes back to Bill O'Brien because you've got to know that the league... are incompetent. You've got to know that.
Incompetent boob. Boob O'Brien. Lobotomy before he came into Foxborough. Bill O'Brien. B-O-B. Boob. What a knucklehead.
All right. Thanks again to Hardy for putting that together, the mastermind of the Fuppets. So they found their way to, they found us.
I think he went out and bought a pair of sunglasses for mine.
Yes, no, he's the Murray likeness remains
pretty accurate.
Uncanny.
Grand slam home run.
Oh, yeah, no, he's got you nailed, Murray. Seriously.
Perfect.
In fact, I think if you really take an examine that Fuppet, you might find a little treat in his pocket, Murray.
So we've got, we'll put that out on our social media, the Felgram has Facebook page and Twitter and all that. And you can see that if you're listening on the radio side, if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, where we simulcast across New England and the country, you just saw it for yourself. So again, thanks to Hardy for putting that together. We'll replay it in the final word as we usually do. In the meantime, back to the phones here on an agenda-free Friday. Chris in the car, what do you got for us on Matt Patricia?
Hey, so Maz, I was dozing off, but I swear to God, you said to everybody that the Lions need to be coaxed along. That Patricia's got to coax them along. Like, it's a professional football team, so like, how is he supposed to do that? Hey guys, if you do the scheme, I'll give you a cookie. You want a cookie? want a blankie? I mean, you know, at some point, I'm pretty sure that the Detroit Lions were terrible before he got there, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be terrible after he's gone.
Well, it feels to me like they've gotten worse. Well, so, weren't they 9-7 last year?
No, but I mean, Chris, I mean, you raised the point, right? You shouldn't have to go in there and
beg.
Right, and beg or put on some sort of, you know, circus show, some clown show, some vaudeville act to get them to buy in. But I don't know. I think that's just the nature of the beast in today's professional sports. You got to, I think, well, I mean, I don't know. You would like to think that just going in and drawing up a good play is enough, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, I just think that, look, with a first-time head coach, I just think you got to be able to connect with players on some level. And it feels to me like he didn't do that. So if he just came in, kicked down the door, and like, I just think that's an immediate turnoff. So look, based on, have you ever seen a team quit in week one like the Lions quit?
Never saw it in week one. No, I mean, I've never seen that.
Doesn't the coach have to take some responsibility for that?
As does the roster.
Sure, yes. Yes, I'm just saying you can't leave him exempt. Whatever he's doing, it's not working.
Not in week one, that's for sure. That was, I've never seen it happen like that in week one where the team quit on him. Here's Bryce and Swampscott on that Carlson trade. Go ahead, Bryce.
Yeah, Felga, two quick points. Number one, on Patricia, can you put his hat on forward? You're a professional NFL football coach. You're not a 20-year-old slob on a basketball court. And I love your opening take about Carlson. Remember when Schefter said, we're not trading Jimmy G for four first-round picks. Well, why don't you send him to the Bills for two first-round picks?
Right.
The Bills are going to win anything?
I'm with you.
Thanks, okay. Boys.
I'm with you. Weekend. This thing about, no, we don't want to trade him in the division or in the conference is just, oh, God, I just think it's so wrong, especially in Ottawa's case. I mean, there might be some cases where you're neck and neck. Like, again, Cleveland trading Isaiah to their chief rival in the East, you could debate the merits of that, except they still beat you. So really, what's the diff? But if the Celtics had given them the best offer, you take the best offer. But especially in Ottawa's case, where they're going to the bottom of the league. So what does it matter to them if Montreal, even, or Toronto, like let's just say their chief rivals, get Erik Karlsson and win? What's the difference to them? They're in last place either way.
Well, right. Yeah.
So you need to send them out west to avoid the PR hit? Like that is just... And so many teams do that. Oh, I think it's just ridiculous.
So, I was just going to say, you mentioned the PR hit again. Ultimately, you know what it's about, too? Job security. Because the PR hit might lead to you getting fired because it looks bad.
Right.
Right? So ultimately, you look at it and you say, well, I'm not going to get fired. If I trade him here and he's good and comes back to bites us in the ass, I will never live that down. It's the end of me. So they don't make the deal.
Okay. Again, there's a free giveaway coming up. I got something for you for free in just a few minutes if you stick around. John in Alston. What do you got, John?
Oh, hey, guys. Yeah, I just want to point out to Jimmy Stewart real fast. It's Josh Hosang. He's the Chinese player in the NHL.
There you go.
But I want to address Tony. The bullpen does suck, but I think the Red Sox beat up on the other team's bullpens worse than they can get beat up on, if that makes any sense. Like, I think everybody's bullpen is pretty bad. Mike, you always bring up the Cleveland Indians bullpen as some triumph. But if you ask a Cleveland Indians fan what they feel about Cody Allen this year, I think they tell you they take high blood pressure medication. That bullpen's just as bad.
Fair. Well, Cody Allen, for sure. I think Cody Allen's like their weak link. But you want to give me Andrew Miller and that hand character? I'll take those guys any day of the week.
Well, and the other thing is I would say to the caller, did you see the first Houston game?
Yeah, look at Houston's bullpen numbers. Don't tell me that bullpen sucks.
No, it doesn't. And again, so who beat up the other team's bullpen worse? Houston on yours or yours on theirs?
Well, they got you in that series.
I mean, so to me, edge Houston.
But, I mean, you raised a good stat. The Red Sox have blown more games than any team in the American League since the All-Star break, and they're 11-6 in those games, which tells you they can overcome their bad bullpen. Now, they can overcome their bad bullpen against
Toronto.
Yeah, you know, when the guy drops a pop-up. Or
the Marlins.
Marlins when the guy throws it into the crapper to end the game. And those are fake wins. And if you're watching again on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, we've readjusted the Red Sox record. They now have two fake wins. Last night was another fake win. Fake win.
Yeah, I just realized too. So they don't have 100 wins.
Nope. First to 99.
No, yep. 99, yeah.
99, 46-2. That was another fake win last night.
Which is going to make a new t-shirt for the next one.
I'm curious. what that record would be. So 11-6 in blown saves. How many of those are against, you know, the Yankees, the playoff teams? I'd be curious to know that.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think one of them was in the finale against Houston, right? I'd have to go back and look, but didn't they blow that
yes,
game and
yes,
win
yes,
it?
Yes, 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 yes.
Right. So, I come back to odds on that one. How often are you going to be able to pull that off against a good team?
I don't know.
1 out of 5 times? Like 20% of the time?
All they need is 4 out of 7 times.
Well, so, right. I just think it's a dangerous way to live.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.